And I think we left off with Romans. We read Romans 8:15. We'll look at that real quick just to kind of pick up where we left off. But I think, you know, before we do, there was something else that I... Look at James chapter 1 before we go there, before we go to Romans. You know, I mean, we looked at it in detail last week where, you know, the Scripture definitely declares that we are sons of God now, and we're heirs together with Christ. Right now, we're going to go to James chapter 1. Yeah, Hebrews, James 1. We're learning a lot of what the Scripture says. We're looking at a lot of things. This, you know, the Bible's a big book. There's a lot there to learn. But it's one thing to know it and to learn it. It's quite another to practice it, to do it. And that's what James 1 talks about. You know, it talks about how that we receive the Word. In verse 21, it says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness," that's the old King James. In other words, you put off the things that are dishonorable to you and are predominantly wicked. You know, the things of the earth, the things of the world. That you begin to put those things off and you receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. You know, you receive with meekness. You know, we all have a meekness toward God. We all have a meekness in our heart to want to know Him. And the only way we really come to know Him is by the Scripture. We can receive the things of the Spirit of God because now we have the Spirit. We're born again. We're sons of God. And now we receive these things with meekness because they really make us whole when we do that. You know, it says it's an engrafted word. The word engrafted in the old King James, it means implanted. You know, some other versions may have it translated that way. Where it's an implanted word. And it brings to mind that parable that Jesus Christ preached to His disciples, you know, the seed and the sower. You know, how that the sower went forth to sow seed. And at the end of that parable, He defined what those terms meant in the parable. He didn't leave it to their imagination or get their guesswork. He just simply told them, look, the sower goes forth to sow seed. The seed is the Word of God. And it's that seed that we receive. And it implants itself within our hearts if we have that meekness. And there is where it does its work. You know, it does its work within not just our minds, but it does its work within our very heart because it's implanted there, because it's a seed. You know? And, you know, this is a great thing to remember, is that as we receive that Word of God with meekness, it does something to us. It helps us, it changes us into that whole person that God desires for us to be. Right? It is able to save your soul. It is able to make you whole again. You know, the world, we get out there in the world long enough and we get pretty beat up. We get pretty maimed and mangled. And we might find ourselves feeling, you know, like it's taken a part of us. We're no longer whole. And this word, when we receive it with meekness, it can make us whole again. Our soul. In the soul of man, right, we looked at it. It's that body, soul, and spirit. Our soul, it's not talking necessarily here about our getting spirit and being made that complete unit again as God designed it, body, soul, and spirit. But it's talking about our soul life, who we really are in the flesh. It's our soul. When we breathe our first breath, we become that unique person, that unique soul. We have a living soul within us now, right? From what the Scripture speaks of and teaches, right? Like we read in Genesis, right? It's that is now begun to be made whole again when we receive this Word. This Word of God is quick and powerful. It's alive. It does something when we receive it with meekness. It fixes us. It heals us. It sets us up again to where we're confident and bold and really living the way God desires for us to live. That's what receiving this Word of God does for us. But then it says, in contrast to what that Word of God will do for you personally in your soul life as you receive it with meekness and you put off all the junky stuff from the world and you just let that Word of God just get its roots down in your heart. You know, it's implanted and it begins to root itself and flourish and bear fruit in your life. Make your soul whole. Not just that. It says, but, verse 22 says, be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Okay? It's what God calls us to action. You know, this is God's call to action. It's like, yes, we've received all these great things from His Word. They are implanted within our very heart. They're bearing fruit. We're allowing them to make us whole again. And we're to now begin to do. Be doers of the Word. Do as it encourages us to do. And it doesn't tell us to do a lot. You know, it doesn't tell us to perfect our flesh, praise God, because we can't. That's the Word of God's job. It's what makes us whole. See? It makes our soul whole and it heals our physical bodies. We don't have to do anything with our flesh. We just have to receive it with meekness and then continue to do. To do. You know, to speak of God's wonders and God's grace in our lives. You know, to proclaim them. Look at Acts chapter 2. Let's see. In Acts chapter 4, it says in verse 23 in Acts chapter 4. You know, this is on the heels of being threatened by the Pharisees and all those guys, Peter and John. In verse 18, it says, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John, in verse 19, answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge yourselves. You can judge that if you like. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We cannot but speak those things which we have seen and heard. It's like, Justin, how you were inspired to, you know, defend the Word of God. You know, to proclaim boldly as that person who was saying there is no God or he's an atheist, doesn't believe in God. But you know of a certainty that God is real. And, you know, we're not haughty about it. We're not conceited about it. But we have a fearless attitude to boldly proclaim the things that we have seen and heard. What has God done for you? What have you seen God do? These are the things that God expects us to speak of. And that's not a difficult thing to do. It's just, you know, the way the world is right now, the world wants to inhibit you and get you to feel like you're not supposed to speak of the things of God. You know, I remember growing up, then there was kind of this this attitude that was very prevalent when I was young, that, you know, you just, that religion is a personal thing. You really don't talk about it much. It's a personal thing. So, you know, you just kind of keep it to yourself. And that's how, you know, the majority of people that I grew up with, that was the majority of the attitude. Now, that's certainly not God's desire. God's desire is that we boldly speak of the things that He has done for us. And right now we know, if nothing else, we know from the Scripture that He has made us His children. We're now His son, His daughter. He's made us that. He's made us joint heirs with Christ. Right? And heirs of God. This is a wonderful thing. He's made us righteous. And we'll look at a lot more of the things that He's done for us in Christ. He's made us whole. He's given us that Spirit once again, where we can now understand the things of the Spirit of God. They're no longer foolishness to us. They're real. And we can have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, to where when we pray to Him, we know that He's listening. And we know if He's listening, then we've got what we've asked Him for. These are things that God's done for us. And this is what God desires for us to speak of. You know, these guys knew, you know, that they were in for a rough road in the day and time that they were speaking of Jesus and the things that Christ had done for them. But they did not heed those threats. It says, so when they had further, verse 21, you know, after they had said, we can't help but speak the things that we've seen and heard. So verse 21, they had continued to threaten them. They had further threatened them, and they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. And this was on the heels of them healing the lame man at the temple gate beautiful that day. You know, where all the people in the temple area that saw this man that was, he'd been carried there every day, lame, asking for alms, for people to give him money so that he could live. Right? So, you know, they'd healed the man. And everyone saw it. This is what God desires for us to do, to make His power known. Just to do it. You know, these guys, they were just bold. They knew, as they were inspired of God to heal the man, they healed the man. They anticipated that. They were not afraid of it. They anticipated it. And so they continued to threaten these guys and let them go, because all the people glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. He'd been lame for 40 years. And being let go, they went to their own company. They went back to their fellowship of believers. They reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them, all the threats that they had laid before them. And then they came to this point where, when all of them heard it, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, and they began to pray. They began to pray. And what they prayed for, verse 29, it says, now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. That's what they prayed for. They prayed for the boldness to speak. They fully expected and anticipated to have an opportunity to speak. They just wanted the boldness to do it. That's meekness. And that's what God desires us to do. This is to be doers of the Word. You know, to have the boldness. And boldness doesn't mean, you know, jumping out there and yelling in the midst of a crowd. Or standing, throwing your soapbox up in downtown, you know, and beginning to preach. You know, that's not necessarily boldness. That's kind of cool sometimes, I guess, if God would inspire you to do it. But to each his own, right? But the boldness is just fearlessness. It's not allowing yourself to be intimidated by what anyone would think of your conviction about the reality of the power of God in your life. See? Not allowing the world to intimidate you and keeping you from speaking. The world was endeavoring to intimidate those guys and shut them down. You know, the chief priests and elders wanted to shut them down right away. And the world will try and shut you down too. You know, the world will try and take away from you the excitement, the enthusiasm. When God does great things for you, God will try, or the world will try and take that enthusiasm and excitement away. See, to be a doer of the Word is just this right here. You know, to pray for the boldness to speak honestly and openly, to speak of the great things that God has done for you. and the great things that God desires to do for other people. First and foremost, you know, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To really do that. To have the kind of love in your heart for God to where you're willing to put off the old man and put on that Christ in you. And be the man or woman that God has called you to be. And not all of us are called to preach the word or to be evangelists or pastors or teachers or apostles or prophets. But all of us have the opportunity to speak. All of us have that ministry of reconciliation. You know, to reconnect people, to bring people back to God. Because the world separates people from God. You know, the world, that's all the world's after, is to keep you from having a relationship with God. Why do I say that? Is because it's the adversary's world. You know, he's the God of this world. The adversary, the devil, is the one who works to destroy, kill, steal the things that God has provided for his people. So, you know, it's up to you and I, as sons of God, to declare our Father. And why he is now our Father. He's our Father because his only begotten Son did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And now we have all those benefits, we have all those blessings, all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places with Christ. Right? So, you know, now we begin to do something with it. Do something with it. Right? Enjoy the benefits of it. But then, you know, like these guys, pray for the boldness. So that when, you know, because we all have opportunity to share the truth with out there when we're out there doing things. We all have that. So, I think that's a great example of doing the word, what Peter and John did and the rest of them. They prayed for that boldness, the boldness that they may speak thy word. And this is how they expected to really proclaim the word. Verse 30, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, his servant, thy holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They just did what they prayed for. Right? They prayed for the boldness, and then they just opened their mouth and began. You know, it's the same as, you know, when we speak in tongues, or when we prophesy or interpret tongues. The manifestation of the Spirit, it's there within you. You have the Spirit within you. Now all you need to do is begin to do it. Right? Like Justin shared about starting his fellowship. You know, he just knew it was something he wanted to do. And even though maybe he doesn't feel as though he knows a lot about doing it, he knows it's Christ in him. And Christ certainly knows a lot about how to do a fellowship. Right? It's not Jesus in you. It's Christ in you. That same Spirit that Christ had, that Jesus Christ had upon him, is within you. You know, it is in you. So you have every ability that Christ had. Every ability that Jesus Christ had, you have. And even greater, because he said you could do greater works. So we can do these things that the Word of God tells us we can do. It's just a matter of beginning to do it. We just start. We just begin. When we speak in tongues for the first time, you know, you don't know if you're going to be fluent or not. You just begin, and all of a sudden it's there. The words are there. I'm sure when Justin started the fellowship, he didn't have to sit for hours to decide, okay, what song should I start with? Or should I even sing a song? No, you know about what you're going to do, and then you begin. And the Spirit of God moves, and the Spirit of God inspires you. It's the same with speaking the Word of God, right? To have the boldness to just begin. If someone has a need you're with, and they have a need, well, just begin to share. Begin to share a little bit about what God can do. And if there is some willingness to receive those words that you have, God will give you more. The Spirit of God will give you more. And you will begin to speak as you're inspired to speak. This is what they desired to do. And they knew that it wasn't just going to be words. It was going to be powerful. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done. See? We don't just want to speak about God. We want to expect to have God back it up with great power, signs and wonders. We can do that. Why? Not because we have the power, but because God has given it to us. We don't have it in and of ourselves. You know, if Jesus Christ said to His disciples, "Of my own self I can do nothing. It's the Father that's doing the works in me. It's because He has given me the power to do it." Of our own selves, we can't do anything. Oh, you know, men, you know, very talented sometimes, they can do a lot of great things with their flesh and their talents and their abilities that they have in the flesh. Right? But when it comes to the things of the Spirit of God, when it comes to signs and wonders and seeing the power of God heal people, seeing the Word of God that you share, the truth that you are inspired to share with someone, see how it changes their lives. That can only be the power of God. And that's what we seek to do with our lives. You know, to be doers of the Word. And not just hearers. You know, I'm so blessed, you know, that Justin, you decided to start your fellowship. I know you'd been talking about it a little bit. We suggested it to you. That's wonderful. Anyone who really believes God and is excited about the things of God should start their own fellowship. Because it's a desire to share the Word with people and reconcile people back to God. You know, we don't bring them to our fellowship. We are endeavoring to bring them back to God. You know, to connect them with God. That's what we desire to do for people. You know, that's why we open our door on Sunday morning. That's why we crank up the Skype fellowship on Wednesdays and whatever else we do, because we want to connect people with God, their Father, and inspire and encourage them as to what they have and what God desires for them. So we are to be doers and not just hearers, right? We have to. If all we do is hear, we just get, you know, kind of dull of hearing sometimes. You know, it's not about just hearing. It's not about being listeners. You know, I don't desire to develop a following of listeners, hearers. You know, I really, my heart, and I know Patty's too, you know, all of us, we desire to have people do something. You know, to believe God. That's an active verb, you know, to believe. It is. It's an active verb. You know? It's like what Jesus Christ encouraged His disciples to do. He said, believe God. All things are possible to him that believes. So believe God. Do. You'll be surprised at the things that God will do for you and will do for others through you, through those words that you speak. You'd be surprised. Well, really not. You shouldn't be surprised. We should be expecting these things.